I may have moments of unbelief, but I don't let it worry me. It's just a feeling that comes and goes. My head may doubt, but my heart knows.
Christ in me.
been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been
Hallelujah! Guitar playing is over for now. But we're going to have a sing-song here one of these days that's going to be the mother of all sing-songs. It's going to be awesome. Because Jesus is coming back soon. How many of you believe that? There's something in on the horizon. The power of God being poured out. Many, many people turning to Jesus. That's one teaching. Then there's another, the rapture of the church. Either which way, I'm all for both of them. Hallelujah. One thing that will not happen, and that is the tribulation. That's in the future a bit yet. Why? Because I'm still here. The one holding him back will hold back until he's taken out of the way. So, if you're a Christian, you're here on this earth, that's why the tribulation has not yet begun. And I totally am in love with that idea. The Lord God sees the integrity of people's hearts. It's not what people do, or how they think, or whatever, this and that. It's the heart of the people that God looks at. And he sees deep into your spirit. He sees deep into your heart. He's not fooled by religious ideologies. He's not fooled by somebody trying to be a good person or trying to fool everybody. He knows exactly. He knew it before you were born. So the integrity of a man's heart works for the good or it works for the bad. All depends who you are. If you want good, like the Bible says, choose life, then God will give you life. If you're for the bad, if you choose death, then God will give you death. Look at all the abortions that are happening all over North America. COVID-19 is just a start. You're going to reap what you sow, those of you who are promoting all of this. We know that the children of Israel, the Pharaoh, the Egyptians, they made a law that all the male children of Israel have to be thrown into the Nile River to drown them. And guess what? They reaped what they sowed. All their firstborn died. The Bible teaches every household had a death. And we are seeing governments now promoting death, promoting abortions. You are going to reap what you sow. The plague in Egypt was very, very selective. It didn't come into the houses that had the blood of the lamb over them. It just went where there was no blood. So I want to warn those of you who are not born again, get the blood of Jesus. Make sure your sins are clean, your sins are washed off. And for those of you who are blasphemers, do not blame anybody but yourself. When the plague will hit, because it will, you are going to find out one of these days that God means business. Just because the flood came 120 years after the warning was given, didn't mean it didn't come. It came. Those people had to suffer the consequences of their choices. They had to all die. And I believe this is what is on the horizon for many, many God haters. Because God wants to pour out His Spirit, and where His Spirit is poured out, there comes both blessings and death. In the old time, when Pentecostal started, the power of God swept through the earth. Those who were pretending got what they deserved. We know that Herod tried to stop the church and worms ate him. This is what's going to happen to many politicians who have an agenda of trying to bring in a one-world government. You're going to be pushed back. So I can also already warn you, don't even give it a shot. You're going to be pushed back. It's not God's timing. But if you insist on it, you're going to reap what you're going to sow. Today I want to teach on the intentions, the integrity of the heart. It can work wonders for you, but it can also destroy you. If you study the Word of God, people who had good intentions were blessed. And people who had bad intentions had to suffer what God had in mind for them because they would not repent. So today I'll teach on it, but before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, you will open people's hearts today to the signs of the times. We know, God, that you're trying in these days every person's heart. You know how it is. You know how it's programmed. So God, you will give people the urge to study the Bible. Many, many pastors, many of your pastors have neglected to teach on the end times. So many of those people are confused. They have no idea what's going to happen and what's going on. So God, you will wake them up now so that they will study. They will go on YouTube and study about what's happening. Lord God, you're willing that none perish, and you're going to bless those who seek with integrity, with good intentions, the goodness of God. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to take you to Abraham when he was interceding for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. When you study that, you can find something very interesting. Abraham knew how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah were. And I don't know, and I even have a feeling, maybe he didn't care too much for them. But deep in his heart, there was a cry for his nephew Lot. He wanted Lot to be saved. And he started out with 50. Lord, if you'll find 50. As he was saying the word 50, he knew that Lot at least was one of them. But he'll be included in the 50. If you'll find 50 righteous people. And God said to him, if I find 50, I'd save them for the 50's sake. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And poor old Abram had to stop at 10. But deep in his heart, he was thinking, Lord, my nephew Lot, his family is there. And guess what? God saw his heart. And guess what happened? I'll read it to you in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 31. Abraham said, behold, now I take upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. Look how God operates. He is not willing that people die. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he left communion with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. We know the rest of the story. God sent his angels into Sodom, and they took Lot, his two daughters, and his wife, and said, we are going to take you out of here. You need to get out. We cannot do nothing until you are safe. God specifically told them, do not destroy this place until Lot is safe. He saw Abraham's heart. And if you have a child, if you're a parent and you have a child that has gone wayward, you pray for him. God sees your heart. You seek God. Don't try to beat around the bush like Abraham. Just come to the point and tell him, my kid is going wayward, Lord. Do whatever it takes to bring him out of this darkness that he is in. And God will listen to you. God listens to people. And he tries their hearts. He sees what their heart is made of. I want to give you an example. When God told Abraham, you go and sacrifice your son Isaac. I want you to do that. And what did Abraham do? He trusted God to the point where he said, well, even if I kill him, God is going to raise him from the dead. He went and he did what God told him to do. And God saw him. And it was counted to him for righteousness. We also know the story. When God told Moses, get away from these people. They are full of the devil. I'm going to destroy them all. And Moses, who was a very meek man, he stood up to God and said, no, no, no. Then everybody is going to say, you're a wicked God. You brought us out here just to slaughter us. God saw Moses' heart, and he allowed him to carry on. We look at the Apostle Paul. God gave the Apostle Paul an agenda. He said, here's the path I want you to walk. And then he tried the Apostle Paul's heart. He came to Jerusalem. And he said to Paul, you get away from this place. I'll bring you amongst the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul says, no, I have an appointment in Rome, and that's where I'm heading even if I have to die. God saw his heart, and he honored the Apostle Paul's heart. If you read the story, you can look at what Paul went through to go to that place where God told him to go. And if he wouldn't have gone, would we have the epistles of Paul? Well, that's another story. But God was merciful, and he blessed us through these letters that Paul wrote. So God sees the intention of every heart. Look at Romans chapter 8 in verse 27. He that searched the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. God doesn't look at your finesse. He doesn't look at your charisma. He doesn't look at your religious ideas or how you operate. He sees deep within your heart. And if you have an honest and godly heart, he will honor it. It says he searches the heart. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He sees deep into where even you don't see. And if you have good intentions in your heart, if you want to please God, I don't care how much you know the Bible or how much you don't know. If you want to go to heaven from a heart that has a deep cry, I can assure you, you will go to heaven, even though you don't know all the right words. That doesn't bother God. He knows the cry of your heart. And if you're going to seek the heart of God, then God will open your heart on how his heart is. And that's what will give you freedom, joy, and tranquility. One day, God showed me his heart just a little bit. And since then, I've had freedom that I didn't know was available to the human being. I'm totally free from fear, from whatever there is. Oh, yes, I do fail every now and then. But in my failure, I have the knowledge that I'm free. Nothing can bring me down. So God studies the heart. In Jeremiah chapter 17 in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's what God is trying to point out to the human being. It's from the get-go. The moment you're born again, you start wailing and crying. You want this, you want that. Your heart is very, very selfish. It wants what it wants and not what other people want. You just watch a baby. As soon as it needs something, it starts wailing. I want what I want, and I need to get it now. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I didn't say that. God says human hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? And this is why the Lord wants to show you to do something. He says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So God watches you. He searches the heart. Mr. Pelliser, God knows your heart. I don't care how nice a speech you make on how you want to try to help the people with this COVID. You are being watched with an eye that doesn't miss anything. Mr. Rusin, doctor, if you are a doctor, God sees your heart. If you have integrity, God is going to bless you. But if you're out to steal, kill, and to destroy, you're going to reap what you sow. If this coronavirus is a hoax and you're pushing it on people for your own pocket, for your own agendas, I can assure you, God has you on his hit list, and you're going to reap deeply what you sow. what you're sowing, you're going to find that out in the very near future. So there is room and time for repentance. God is willing that none perish. He doesn't want you to die. But if you insist on death, if you insist on abortion, if you insist on killing and destroying, locking down people, you're going to be locked down. You're going to be killed. You're going to suffer the consequences of your choice. That's what the Bible teaches, because it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. There is no escape. You may think nobody knows, but guess what? The God of the universe knows the deep intentions of your heart. We need to be like the psalmist. This is where I go to. And when I study it, I look at myself. See, with a mirror, the Word of God is a mirror. You don't hold up a mirror to show somebody else's things. You look at the mirror to see your problems. Listen to Psalm 139 in verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. In other words, show me where I'm going wrong. You see my thoughts. You know what my heart is full of. Try me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's a challenge to all Christians. Try me. Search my heart. Show it to me so that I can improve myself. Religious people are trying to improve themselves on the outside. They have rules, laws, and regulations. They go about trying to be religious. Whereas the psalmist says, no, no, no. It's the heart that has to change. You cry out to God to show you your heart so that you can change your attitude, so that you can change your ways. It says, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me how to change. Don't even trust yourself, because most religious organizations and many, many Christians, they put themselves laws, rules, regulations. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. They make it harder and harder for themselves instead of asking God to show them how to deal with themselves. The psalmist was very, very honest. He looked at his heart and he saw it was wicked. And sometimes his actions proved it. But he knew that he was wrong. And he cried out to God, see if there be any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. This is what I challenge every Christian to do. Don't just take for granted that you're saved, that you're born again. Yes, it's good to know that you are, but go on and improve on that. Ask God to search your heart. Ask God to lead you in a way that'll change your attitude, change your ideas. If you make a law not to gossip anymore, you're going to fail. You're going to fail because Satan is there. He's going to make you a bigger gossip. But if you cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm a gossip. I don't want to be one. You've shown me in my heart that I am. Help me to come out of it. And God will simply lead you out of there. That's the way God works. Very interesting when you study it. In Psalm chapter 26 in verse 2. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. And try my reins and my heart. I was reading an interesting story. A guy on YouTube, he shared his story. He was a homosexual. And he was into a very promiscuous lifestyle. And one time after he had finished committing all those vile acts that the Bible talks about, he rolled over and said to God, God, if homosexuality is a sin, show me. And the Lord right away started to showing him that homosexuality is bad for you and a sin. It's an abomination. And within a couple of months, He was totally clean because God let him out of their lifestyle. He didn't say, I'm going to stop being a homosexual. No, God let him out of it. Now he can teach others. But guess what the rest of the homosexuals do? They reject him. This guy had the guts to say, examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins. Try my heart. Are we as Christians doing that? That should be our daily prayer. Lord, show me today where my heart is, what my attitude is, how I am with my neighbors, with my friends, with my wife, with my husband. Yes, I know it's a fight uphill, but with God doing it, he's pushing you up there. You don't have to do much work. So it says in Job chapter 34, listen to this one. For his eyes are upon the ways of men, and he sees all his goings. Whether you ask him or not, whether you're doing these things or not, he sees anyway. He knows the deep secrets of your heart. And one of these days, if you do not change, if you don't turn to him, you will have to suffer the consequences of your choice. This is all God is trying to tell us. I know who you are. I know what you're up to. And if you do not change, you will have to find out what it means to be under the judgment of God. See, God created us not to judge us. He created us to be in his presence for the rest of eternity. I remember as a young kid, I was taught about the judgment of God. I was taught about hell. I was taught about the lake of fire. I was terribly scared. Did that bring me to God? No, it did not. I was fearful of God, but it didn't bring me to God. I think it drove me farther away. But then one day God showed me the goodness of God. What's the goodness of God? It's the blood of Jesus that takes care of every sin that I ever committed. He showed it to me. And the second he showed it to me, I said, Lord, I need this. I want this. Yes, the fear of hell drove me into the arms of Jesus. Once I knew and understood he would accept me. And I got good news for you. I don't care how afraid you are of hell, how afraid you are of life, or how afraid you are of COVID. God loves you. And if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. He will accept you as you are. And he will lead you into paths of righteousness. I got one more scripture in Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 1. Listen to this. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, out of the loins of Jesse. That's King David's dad, father. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, his understanding, his might, his counsel, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. It's explaining Jesus here. He's perfect. He's got understanding. He's got wisdom. He's got might. He's got good counsel. He's got knowledge. He loves God. And it says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall, listen to this, everyone, those who think you can fool God. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. If you're wicked in your heart, you're finished. I'm not even going to debate with you. You're finished. The debate is over. But If you're good, if you want good, he will give you the breath of life. He will give you life eternal. He will give you joy, peace for the rest of eternity. Over the last couple of weeks, I was listening to these people on YouTube. They were debating if there was one more than one way into heaven. And one person put it this way. I read in Scripture, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that settles it if Scripture teaches. There's only one way, one door, and that's through Jesus. It's not your religion. It's not your good efforts. If you don't come in through the door, you are going to bypass the door and head straight into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, where the Bible teaches the smoke shall arise forever and ever. So here it is. God has blessings and he has cursings. What does God say about that? Here I got blessings, I got cursings. God says, choose the blessings, and then it will be good with you. So I'm asking you, do you know this Jesus? Give him your life today. He wants the best for you. He is willing that none perish. So let the Lord open your heart today. Study it for yourself. Seek the heart of God, and the freedom that you'll experience is going to be beyond your comprehension. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.